So my talk is on methamphetamine use and high-risk sexual behaviors among incarcerated teens with a diagnosed STD. The objectives of my talk are to examine some of the risk factors associated with meth use among incarcerated teens and to identify some strategies for reducing both sex and drug-related risk behaviors. So to provide a little background, we know that methamphetamine use is associated with high-risk sexual behaviors, but most of the studies looking at meth use have focused primarily on MSM and heterosexual populations, which have found that meth use is associated with high risk for syphilis among MSM and more frequent sexual partners and reduced condom use among heterosexuals as well. However, little is really known about its use and risk factors among adolescents, particularly incarcerated females. And this research gap is really cause for concern given the documented linkages between drug use, high-risk sexual behaviors, and delinquency across different sectors of adolescence. And we know that untreated drug problems result in a cycle of relapse and recidivism, which has high costs to society, both in terms of unmet drug treatment needs and high incarceration costs. So what do we know about meth use among adolescents? Well, national household surveys show actually a downward trend of lifetime use from about 4.7% to 2.5% between 1999 and 2005. However, state and local drug treatment data have shown an increased admissions for meth use among adolescents, with greater numbers of females going into treatment than males. And this is primarily a phenomenon on the West Coast. Studies by the National Institute of Justice have shown high rates of meth use among juvenile arrestees, again, primarily in the Western US. And there's a growing trend of meth use among adolescent females relative to their male counterparts, with more adverse effects reported by females, including eating disorders, depression, and suicidal attempts. This was a large study conducted in a general sample of teens at Columbia. And a recent study by my colleagues at UC Berkeley found meth use among 26% among 939 females screened for chlamydia detention in Northern California. So we wanted to look at meth admission trends among adolescents in LA County. And we've seen between 2001 and 2005 a growing percentage of treatment admissions specifically for meth, ranging from 7% in 01 to about 26% in 05. And looking at differences in gender, we see that more females are presenting for treatment in Los Angeles County for meth compared to men, 22% for female compared to 8% in male. This was in 2003-2004. And looking at ethnicity in Los Angeles County, we see that Latinos are overrepresented among meth admissions, 69% compared to whites, African Americans, Asians, and others. This is a large sample in Los Angeles County. So what do we know about incarcerated female teens, our sample of interest? National data show that about 15,000 females are housed in the juvenile justice system per day. High rates of substance abuse and unmet treatment needs characterize this population. There's high rates of chlamydia, we know gonorrhea and reinfection rates, reproductive health problems, unintended pregnancy, very high risk population, significant STD risk behaviors such as low rates of condom use, early age of sexual debut, prior sexual and physical abuse, which in itself is associated with STD risk behaviors, high rates of untreated mental health disorders, and national surveys have shown that reproductive health services are not universally provided in corrections for youth. So I'm going to talk a little about the LA County juvenile halls where our project occurred. LA County operates the largest juvenile justice system in the US. Each year, over 22,000 males and females between ages 8 and 21 are detained in juvenile hall, and about 19 to 21% are female. Youth who are arrested are brought to one of three locations. We have what's called Barry Nydorf Juvenile Hall, Central Juvenile Hall, and Los Padrinos Juvenile Hall. The average stay is a little under a month, about 21 days, until the teen's case is adjudicated. And all detainees receive medical screening at intake, including screening for chlamydia and gonorrhea. And in 1996, the LA County STD program hired two case managers to track and treat all juvenile arrestees who were testing positive for an STD while incarcerated. So these are three pictures of our juvenile hall. The left central juvenile hall is in downtown Los Angeles. Barry Nydorf Juvenile Hall on the right is in the northern end of the San Fernando Valley called Sylmar. And Los Padrinos at the bottom is in Downey, which is in the southeastern part of Los Angeles. About 300 females are in the juvenile halls at any one time, as opposed to about 2,100 males. This is a typical cell in Los Padrinos. And as you see, high rates of STDs characterize this population. This was between January 06 and June 07. We screened about 5,684 girls with chlamydia rates at 14%, GC about 4.7, and both CT and GC 2.8. These rates are consistent and similar to other screening programs in the United States that target juvenile arrestees. And to keep in mind, these rates for chlamydia are about two times higher, and gonorrhea is about three times higher than similar populations screened in family planning clinics. So Project YES is a public health program located in the LA County Juvenile Halls that I alluded to earlier that provides treatment and case management to all incarcerated females who are diagnosed with chlamydia or gonorrhea while in custody. All detainees complete a comprehensive STD risk assessment form administered by one of our staff persons for case management purposes. Questions asked are demographics, arrest charge, extensive sexual risk behavior, questions, prior STDs, and drug use. And we looked at a subset of chlamydia and gonorrhea cases among those who completed a risk assessment between January 06 and June of 07 for a total of 478 interviews. So what did we find? Well, the mean age of our sample was 16, with a range of about 12 to 18. The ethnicities, you see the breakdown, a little less than half were African American, Hispanic 37%, white 7%, and other 7%. The arrest charge, a little over half were for a warrant or violation, followed by property arrests, about 14.6 for a violence charge, about 9% for prostitution, and 7% for drug. And to keep in mind that these are very crude arrest categories, that actually a number of the warrants and the property charges were related to drug use, but the charge was not coded as drugs. And you can see high drug use among this sample. A little over half used any drug, and this is on a weekly basis. Marijuana, about 36%, alcohol, about a fifth, and weekly methamphetamine use, about 15%, and other 5%. And about a fifth of the sample, around 20%, were polydrug users. They used more than one drug on a weekly basis. Looking at some of the sexual risk behaviors, the mean age of first sex was 13.9. The range was from age 9 to 17. The mean number of lifetime sexual partners was 9, with a range of 1 to 300. The higher number that you see here is more a function of those who engage in prostitution. The number of sex partners for the past 6 months, the mean was 2.6, with a range of 0 to 52 partners. And the STD diagnosis, not surprisingly among youth, was chlamydia, followed by gonorrhea, and chlamydia and gonorrhea both. So this sample is everyone who has an STD. High-risk sexual behaviors characterize this group. About 58% reported regular condom use. About 26% had a prior pregnancy. About a quarter had a prior STD. 20% reported being sexually assaulted. We think that's an underestimation, given that these were people who reported case of sexual assault. But this is what we found. 17% reported ever trading sex. 11% currently had children, and 6% were currently pregnant. Looking at bivariate analyses of sexual behavior and meth use, there were differences where meth users were slightly more likely to be older, Hispanic, white, less likely to be African American, more likely to have a drug charge, and to have ever been pregnant. So clearly sexual risk was associated with meth use. And slightly different risk behaviors emerged when we broke it out and looked at sexual behavior and regular marijuana use. Again, Hispanic was more likely, as was white. Having traded sex was also more likely with pot use, and receiving a drug charge. So it appears that there may be independent risk factors for meth use and marijuana use. So in our multivariate analysis, we saw Hispanics were more likely to be meth users. Marijuana use was associated with meth use, and condoms used at last sex was less significant. So what does this tell us? Well, Demographic and behavioral characteristics differed among arrestees that reported drug use and no drug use. And in our final analysis and multivariate analysis, ethnic differences, drug use, and risky sexual behavior remain significant predictors of meth use. So what does this tell us? Well, the recognition of meth use among incarcerated female adolescents clearly increases the need to provide interventions to this group that address both the drug use and the risky sexual behavior in the correctional setting. And some suggested strategies that have been suggested by the National Institute of Justice and other teen advocate groups who are working in corrections, that drug use screening, referrals to drug treatment, and post-release case management are vital for this population that has both drug use and high-risk sexual behaviors. I'd like to acknowledge my coworkers, Kim Coffey, Ben Goldstein, Kim Harrison, Kirsten Wilson, and Rachel Gonzalez, who provided the drug treatment slides at UCLA. Thank you.